What are we trying to do here today, guys? What's your thought?
I don't know.
I told you the thought.
Yeah, you said.
Yeah. So what happened there? Some guy dropped that on you?
An unnamed individual. Yes, you're back up.
What?
All right.
I wouldn't say he Happy dropped out. I would say that we assumed he would never show up because he never does.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
This would be attempt 3, I think.
Which person is that?
Come on, John.
I know.
Yeah.
His reputation precedes him.
Mm-hmm.
Is he waiting on a link right now?
No.
Maybe he'll pop on.
He did reach back out to me and say, okay, hey, I got like a little bit of time tonight. And like, what time are you guys planning on doing it? And it kind of felt good to like...
Ooh, sorry,
big
buddy.
Big time him. Yeah, be like, oh, sorry, we already got to fill in. Robert's more important. Oh,
that is true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Happy to be here. Anytime.
Well, I mean, just for the audio listeners, that's Robert Foster.
Yeah, that's me.
First timer.
Because the audio.
First time, long time listener, first time caller.
They needed to know his last name, first and last. What's the last four of your social, Robert?
Let's go with 1035.
Mother's maiden name.
Yeah. Those are good conversation starters. What was the model of your first car? Oh, yeah, the Chevette.
Well, yeah, actually, what is the first model of your first car?
That's a Chevette, and somewhere that's a password of mine.
And you just shared it on the internet.
What's the name of the street you grew up on?
Favorite ice cream flavor?
What was the plates on the Chevette?
Oh, 79 Vet. Got vanity plates on there. They're still there.
Some poor C3 Corvette owner
is so mad.
So mad about that.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't been re-registered in years, so...
They might be up on the open market.
So you're
again.
Available, is what you're saying. Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I gotta dig that thing out.
I keep telling you, I'll dig it out for you. We bring it over to your house, and you can work on it instead of a lawnmower.
It's still around, is what you're saying?
It's not the worst idea in the world. I got room for it. It's really small. It's about the size of a lawnmower.
About as rare as a lawnmower, too.
Yeah, carburetor. That's how I learned about JB Weld. What's that thing?
How many JB Weld fixes did you have to make on it?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I have a kind of a story if you want to hear. Like, because my neighbor was an
Robert,
old guy.
One second. We have to do just real quick. We have to do a quick intro because where are we at, Jesse?
Oh, we are at the Campfire Passport Podcast.
We thought a team would be good. Okay, I want to hear the story.
So an old guy.
I'm glad you team intro'd that. That was fun. Thank you. Thank you, Sean.
Back to Chevette story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was driving, like it was my daily driver between the Santa Barbara Airport and where I live, and it started smelling like gasoline. And it turned out there was something cracked in the carburetor, and the local mechanic on Santa Barbara, he'd have nothing to do with it. No, I don't want to touch it. And so I was kind of like, oh shit, what do I do? And I talked to my old neighbor, like 80 years old at the time, and JB welded it. And we took it back to the mechanic for some reason, and he was looking at it like, in all my 30 years of being a mechanic, I've never seen anything like this. And I just remember my neighbor was like, 30 years? What a fucking amateur.
I've been fixing stuff with JB Weld for 70.
Yeah. I was kind of afraid it would explode, but it's still hanging in there. Still around.
It's good.
So the JB Weld on the carburetor is still holding tight.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
JB when Wells, was this? How long us. Ago?
Oh, 2005. So I'd be 20 years ago.
20 years.
That's quite the long-term fix.
Yeah.
Nothing else has gone wrong enough with the carburetor that you've had to like not replace it in the meantime, or I guess.
Oh no, I've been, it's been hanging out in the yard ever since then.
I was going to say, yeah. How long has it been in the yard?
Yeah.
That same
19 years. So that's your first car. It's a Chevette.
That is, yeah, the Chevette. The 1979 Chevy Chevette. I bought it for $1. Bought it for $1. All my right. Grandpa sold it to me. So he could write out a bill of sale and everything. I still have it somewhere. Like, I'll sell this car to Robert. And I went up and paid him. I went, I'm like, oh, shit. I had to go grab, dig around, gave him $1.
Nice. Did you pay him with a $1 bill or in change?
Did you give him 100 pennies?
That's good. That's good. What? Yeah. How long did you drive that? Like, how long was that your car?
Oh, all through high school.
Okay.
Jesse remembers that. Yeah, like it was my since 17 when you're getting your driver's license or whatever, and all through high school. And when I started going to college, it was like, I don't want to drive this over the pass. It could, you know, that ride up to Hoodoo. It's pretty steep, and I'd be so yeah. I had to. That's my upgrade to the Subaru Loyal.
Was it that big of an upgrade?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was great. It was solid.
Yeah. No, I thought I really liked those for a little while. GL10s and Loyals.
Red button to start your four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
The seat belt, you know, you sit in and you close the door and it comes up and around you.
Those were like
anymore.
High class. Perpetually $500 for like for as long as I could remember, until very recently, I like looked in the last like 5 years and I was like, wait a minute, they're $1,500 now. What the hell?
Which tripled in price.
Pretty good. I sold mine for $500.
See?
Yeah, that's the right price.
Solid place to park.
You sold it for more than that, Robert.
Did I?
Yes. Because remember, I made the Craigslist ad for that. And I made this ridiculous, this absolutely absurd Craigslist ad, because it was before Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, like with Microsoft Paint and like little flames coming out of it.
Yeah.
Anywhere?
No, I don't know. Damn. I gotta dig it up, but I put it like on a volcano, riding on an eagle.
Oh, geez.
I vaguely remember this. I think this might have ended up on Bendubs at one point, because
you might be right. This does seem the more descriptive it's getting, the more it's familiar. It's sounding familiar.
It seems like it might have. It was the
Subaru War Wagon. What I described it as. And yeah, somebody bought it. It was more like $1,500, but you know, still three times the price of $500.
Maybe that's when I saw the first $1,500.
It was barely hanging in there, that thing.
I had to replace your timing belt on that thing. God, that was horrible.
Yeah. That was right in the middle of the pizza run. That was stressful.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is a side thing, but I have a coworker that is new, and he apparently was like coming back from a car show or something and had like gotten pizza to bring home to his wife, and that was like their dinner. He was late, blah blah blah. Anyways, it's snowy winter in Michigan or whatever. She comes outside, slips, breaks her leg, bad, like required plates and screws, kind of bad. And he just goes through this whole story, because he like mentioned that his wife was hurt and I asked, right? And so he goes through the whole story, and he's, oh, then we go to the hospital, and like, you know, every piece of this. And then at the very end, he said, I still haven't eaten that pizza. This was like 24 hours after it happened. I was like, oh, okay.
I was waiting for that story to end up being the Subaru's fault. But okay.
It wasn't a Subaru, unfortunately. I mean, I guess I didn't ask. It could be a Subaru.
The Subaru blew a head gasket, and then we couldn't get to the hospital in time.
Yep. So we had to change the timing belt on the pizza run with the broken leg.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that bought some more life in it, maybe another year or so.
Nice.
But yeah, I remember. I remember when I sold it. I want to say it was 500. Are you looking? Oh, dude, what's that on the bottom?
2,500 now.
Yeah, look at that. But there's a $600 one still.
Yeah,
$1.
Look at that $2,000
one.
Click on that.
Hey, I should have held on to mine. I should have held on to that thing.
Oh, the blue interior. I wanted this car so bad.
It's got one little dent there on the door.
Oh God, they're so bad.
Holy crap. That's a good find there, Colin. Yeah.
I can smell that.
That's it. That's my car. I had that blue interior. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cloth seats. Here's that red button, see, for your four-wheel drive.
It's missing its spare tire, which lives in the engine bay.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely right, in the engine bay.
Above the transmission.
That was the car that I wrecked as a passenger.
There's a $1,000 one.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, remember that time I wrecked your Subaru?
It was that one.
Yep.
This is the least stylish car that has ever been built.
Oh,
I think.
God,
it is so generic.
Just... Oh, God.
There is no... It like, if you took the badges off, is it a Honda? Is it a Subaru? Is it a Volvo? Is it a... Who knows? It is generic 80s car.
It looks exactly like a Nissan Maxima.
Yeah,
like Maxima. An 80s Nissan Maxima.
Has no defining features.
No.
Yet, an extremely unique drivetrain for the time frame. No other flat four all-wheel drive cars in that time.
Well, that one's got clean seats. Look at that.
Yeah.
Dang.
Tinted windows.
Seat belt.
It is straight piped.
Oh, no. A little louder than your normal older Scooby.
That's not far. I can go pick that up. I hate to see it go.
Yeah, just up in Tumwater.
Yeah, you know that, like, there's the whole thing about, like, people, when they get a little older, buy, like, the best example of their childhood cars. Mm,
yeah.
This is that example for
this would be Robert's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I would buy that car. Like, do not get me wrong. I would 100% buy a wagon GL.
Yeah, you got to get GL Turbo. That's the one.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a little more rare and a little more expensive. But
Party.
Get up to $3,000.
This one looks like the ad you were talking about. It's got flames on it. It says party hardy all there. Comes with a battery.
Oh,
Subi.
Oh, no.
I mean, the most money I've ever.
Oh my God, Colin, do you have any? Would you pay money for that for later? Because I would like to play this game with Robert.
I can think about that.
All right, cool.
The most money I've ever made on a car flip was on Subaru GLs. So I got two sedans for $500.
Okay.
And then I used one
at the same time.
At the same time, okay. I used one for parts
you know
for
do
the
with
other.
That kind of money, man.
Sold the other for $1,500, and then sold the broken one for $500.
Damn, not bad.
That was the most I've ever made on a car flip.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I ended up spending it on fixing Robert's car after I wrecked it.
Oh yeah,
being a passenger.
Yeah, he fixed that right away though. Yeah,
I was a passenger in the vehicle and I wrecked his vehicle.
As a passenger, how did you wreck the vehicle?
He was getting drunk and I was driving him home.
There we go. I was gonna say I'll let Robert tell the story.
Yeah, I don't know what you remember about it, but yeah, it wasn't that far. It was from Hideaway, and I was your DD, and we were listening to music, and we were driving to your house, which is like a mile away, and it was like a part in the song. We were just like, whoa! And you like reached over like this and grabbed the steering wheel. Don't expect that to happen. And so we went sliding into the curb, and it bent up the left side of the driver's side wheel. It got all fucked up, and we got out, and I was just like dumbfounded. And Jesse's like,
yep. Okay.
So I broke the upper and lower control arms, and then also pulled out. There's a little C clip on those on the CV axle that keeps the rosebud into the seat. Pulled that out as well, and I gave Robert. This is back when I was driving my Mark III Golf. I gave Robert the Golf.
Oh my God, you're right. Yeah.
I said, drive this for the day. I will have it fixed by your car fixed by the end of the day. And so I drove around to both BNR. What was that guy's name? Brad. He was over there behind. He was right there off of Revere. He was the Subaru specialist kind of guy back in the day. Like
I Subaru guru?
Maybe.
That's still around. What I was thinking.
Still around. That guy's still around?
That's still around, yeah.
Nice.
Unless you're...
Oh, you're thinking of Barrett.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Are you thinking of Barrett? All wheels driven. Yeah, all wheels driven.
Yeah, all wheels driven. Thank you. Yeah, Barrett. So I called Barrett and I was like, hey, I fucked up. I need this little ring to fix this CV axle. He's like, I don't care. Come by. So I stopped by. Barrett hooked me up. He gave me a boot and a little C-clip. I put it back together, and I drove it back to Robert's house and said, here's your car.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was a quick turnaround.
One day.
I remember I picked up my sister at school. I thought, because I never picked up my sister at school. I had to go do errands that day. That's why I was all pissed. I'm like, why wouldn't I have helped you out? Like, it would have been like, you know, good learning experience. Like, learn about control arms. But I had to do shit. So yeah, I remember I was driving your car around, and I picked up my little sister Suzanne at Summit. She's like, oh, cool. I'm getting in this Volkswagen GTI or whatever it was.
It was a Mark III Golf with a VR6 swap. And yeah. It was a giant piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, as they are.
But you, remember, hey, you got to drive around a superior vehicle.
Oh, yeah. It was nice. Nice, fun little car.
In comparison, anyway. In
comparison. Oh man, that thing was such a fucking rat piece of shit. The Golf.
The Golf. But, now, I remember getting riding with you, and we had got towed out of. It was like the middle of Santa Ana Pass, and we had to get you had to call AAA, and we got towed out of there. Remember that?
Oh yeah, that's when I decided that I knew my clutch was going out when I was in Corvallis, and I had to drive Robert back to Bend. And I said, we'll make it or not. Don't care. We got to not even the junction of Tombstone Pass and 126 that goes to Eugene or Springfield. And we're pulling up a hill and the clutch completely exploded. And so we pulled off on the side of the road. I walked up the hill. Called AAA, grabbed the case of beer, and said, well, this is where we're going to hang out.
I nursed a bad clutch in my Black Mark III for like 3 weeks or a month one time where it was like actively slipping, and I had to like drive it a certain way. Like I couldn't give it too much throttle. I had to like feather. It was like a CVT basically. Mm-hmm. By the time I was done with it, and I did drive it over the pass in that time, and I remember like slowing down to like 35 on one of the big hills because it was obviously slipping more, and if I could get it to cool down, it would grab a little bit. That was a real dirtbag young Sean moment where I was trying to really milk that and not have to replace it.
Yeah, I just redneck rat bagged that thing and just was like, we're going to go VR6 power.
Oh, I definitely did that too. It was really fun to like be driving along where it'd be fine. And then if you just put your foot to the throttle, it would hit rev limiter, but you didn't have to do anything else. Yeah. But you know, 2 liter, it was fine. It wasn't spinning that hard.
Yeah, that's what the Passat was like before somebody backed into it. That's like, remember that? So you remember that trip when you guys all decided, oh, we're going to go fast and left me behind? And it was because, it was literally because.
Yeah, it was slipping.
You were like, you guys were bombing uphill. And so like, I put my foot down and it's just like, what? Just revs and doesn't go any faster. I was like, well, I have to accelerate extremely slow.
Oh, that's not good. Okay, so was your third car the Jeep?
Oh no.
I don't, this is not what I intended to do, but I really want to hear Robert's entire history.
That Loyale is what got me into Subarus, man. I've been driving Subarus ever since. And see, after that we got I bought a
Outback.
What are those? The Outback from a Russian guy here in near the airport.
Okay.
We drove that to Arizona, and then I sold it, and then we bought the RAV4, the 2005 RAV4, and that was at the time I was an upgrade for sure. And with that we drove back. You remember that? Oh, I had it until like last year. I sold it last year for like $2,000. That guy got a good deal. I wanted more than that.
It was a RAV4, but technically it's a RAV2.
Yeah, I called it the RAV2. Yeah, because it was two-wheel drive.
They make two-wheel drive RAV4s?
Did you know that was a thing? I didn't know that was a thing.
Did you find out like years into ownership? Or?
At the time in Arizona, you don't really need four-wheel drive, but sure. That's here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like my realization that 4Runners, you could get them in two-wheel drive. I had somebody ask me like, cause we were like in Portland for a concert and it was, you know, the winter, and I had a friend ask me to drive their car with them cause they didn't feel comfortable driving it over the pass in the snow.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh yeah, well, what'd you bring? Oh, we've got the 4Runner. And I was like, oh my God, that's, you know, no worries. That's going to be no problem at all. As soon as we get in and start driving them, I'm like, is this two-wheel drive? Like, yeah.
It's a two-runner.
I didn't know I didn't know that was possible. I thought that these were four-wheel drive. Okay, well, my anxiety just went up. Thanks.
If you're ever looking for a deal on like a 4Runner or like something to flip and you see an extremely cheap 4Runner.
It's two-wheel drive.
Probably two-wheel drive. That's burned me so many times where I've been like, oh my God, look at that deal.
The price on that thing.
Oh, it happens on Audis sometimes too. You'll find a front track.
Oh, like, one of the front wheel drive ones.
A4 or something. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what the hell?
Not Quattro, but Dos.
Yeah, Dos. Dos. Got the Audi Dos. Get a two rings license plate.
Two rings, please.
That's a good callback. That's really far back.
That's an age old callback.
I hope Aaron listens every once in a while. That'd be fun.
Yeah. It's still sitting in his yard, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Okay, so what Colin berated me for not knowing earlier was that we were going to talk to you about your intro into off-road and how Jesse has bullied you into it and what your experience has been like. give us a run there.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, this... He's already got the stick in his hand.
I can see. He's ready to ready. Prove a point.
Yeah.
Turn the camera to the diagram.
Bully. That's, man. These are good. And I've given up. Like, I want to have it be able to fit in the garage. But as soon as I get these tires on, I don't know if that's going to be the end of those days, I think.
You get
another. We need to back up here a little bit. Because nobody knows what you're talking about here at this point in time.
Not even me.
So you went from the RAV4 to the Jeep.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got the Wrangler. Yes.
You got a JKU, like basic ass JKU.
The Sport, yeah. Oof.
And I did not tell you to buy that. If you would have had my opinion, I would have not told you to buy that.
Oh, I didn't care at the time. I didn't care. And
so Gabby, don't tell me I bullied you.
Oh no,
I said that.
You bullied me into getting these tires.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. I did that.
Yeah. He's been bullied in the off-road escapades, not getting the car.
So you got the JKU. You sold the RAV2.
Yeah. And now we have the new Forester, and that's a good daily driver, and doing everything. Gabby drives it. It's solid, reliable, you know. And the Jeep paid off, so I can, you know, smash it around a little bit.
That's a good attitude, yeah.
And honestly, like, riding along on the Rubicon was one of the coolest things I've done all year, or, you know, in a while. And just, that was just riding along. I'm like, God, and I'm like, that's, if that trip ever happens again, I want to take my car on it now, on my, you know.
Heck so, yeah. Okay, got him hooked.
Hell yeah. Yeah. That was just such a great time. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Such a nice area, and it's cool being out there. And all the other little adventures too. So it's just nice to have, not, you know, worry about, you know, banging up the door. And so, yeah, I want to get the rock sliders. And
okay.
And we learned after snow wheeling a winch, you know.
Winch can be helpful.
Maybe some new track boards.
Yes. I think that the first time I experienced you driving the Jeep, other than just like being somewhere with your Jeep, was when we did that Alvord trip where Mike famously got stuck in the mud many times. And we got
Mike's dirty deep holes.
Yeah. And we got that wonderful title out of it. And you, you basically showed about 3/4 of the people that were there that stock Jeeps are way better at off-road than a lot of things.
Stock Jeep, no lockers, 31s.
Very little experience. Just point the wheel, press the throttle, go.
Yeah, I that was a great time. I had a great time on that trip. It was fun.
We also had our like ridiculous camp setups. Luke's got like, he was the first one to get a diesel heater, I think. So he had that all set up with his GFC. Like, we're really like camping. And then you just bust out the tent off of the storage tote on your roof.
Oh yeah, those are coming back.
Also have a great time. And like, god damn.
Yeah,
it's just that proof of the you can start from anywhere.
That's right.
Just get some stuff and go and do it.
And that's what Jesse said too. You know, just like, just go outside, just go, just do it. Like, the more you do it, you'll figure it out. Like, I'm not gonna. And so, yeah.
Yeah, you figure out what you need and what you don't need, or like what you can make do with. And I think we all do that to an extent, right? Like, none of us have every single thing. And some of those things are really nice to have. And some of them, like, it's fine. Live and learn. Get the thing and say, okay, I don't know if I really needed that, but I've got it now. You know, or you get the thing and sell the thing and get another thing and sell the thing and get a thing and sell the thing and, you know.
That's not all of us are Mike. We can learn vicariously through Mike on what thing might or might not be.
Yeah. I think we should talk about this in the next episode, which I think Mike will be on. But but outside of that, without Mike here, I want to say he won't be able to listen to this before the other podcast. It'll be fun. There's no reason other than a little bit of wheelbase that the new vehicle shouldn't be able to, like, not be as good as Colin's truck, you know, the white truck, but, like, you know, it has the potential to do that stuff. It's fine. Like, you could do all those things.
It's just a lot of body to deal with.
Oh man, it's a lot.
If he wants to keep it straight, that was my first thought, was it was just like, if he wants to keep it straight, he has really lessened his, capability.
Well we will confront him on his next podcast.
I made it to that point in the last podcast I was listening, and it was like the overcorrection piece at the beginning. Wow. We were talking about,
wow, you made it a minute and a half into the pod. Wow,
that's right,
job, Sean. So
I made it past that, but not much.
So I don't mean to sidetrack, but there was something on the podcast that we did the game show on that you said, there's a point I want to make, but I will put it on the next podcast.
Oh.
Because I dived right into...
Oh, that was it. It was Mike overcorrecting.
Okay. Yeah, Mike overcorrected. Okay.
He tends to we can talk about this when Mike's here to have the conversation.
We'll talk about it when Mike is here.
Yeah. Overcorrection is the word that was carefully chosen. That was was not a quick comment. Okay. So anyways.
So Robert now has the JKU and I bullied, I'm going to put quote unquote into actually these wheels right here. I got him drunk in the front
of
my house and said, "Hey, you need to buy Method 704s in the 17s. Oh, he's going to go grab them.
Did he go up to a 35?
Here they are.
Oh, no. Oh, that's right. You want the 703, not the 704.
It's a 703. Look how shiny they are. Yeah.
That's nice. I like that. That'll look good with the gray.
Bead grip. Yeah. And see, that's what I learned on the last trip with you guys was like when you get your tire, your pressure's all super low, you could risk popping the bead. You don't want that.
No.
You get some bead grip.
Yeah. Forget bead locks and then still pop a bead.
Like Sean.
Since no one listens to this podcast, Onyx has a little bit of a loophole.
Oh.
So you can sign up for Onyx Elite trial and get Onyx Elite deals.
Mm.
You can buy the wheels at 25% off. Then cancel your Onyx Elite membership before the trial ends.
That's pretty good. It's
a tiny little loophole, and then we might get a phone call about this.
Probably only works once, but you know.
Yeah.
They still, they got me. I forgot to cancel.
Oh, man. That's got a good story for that. So, actually, this story is going to be really good because Tyson's involved. I did the same thing with F1. So I use my brother-in-law's F1 login, F1 TV login, and I have been for years. And this year he didn't have his password was messed up. Something happened for the first race and I wanted to watch qualifying. So I just got the free trial, premium free trial. Great. Free 7 days. Everything's good. He gets his account up and running. I've got his account. I log into his account. I just move on with my life. And then I looked at my subscriptions a month and a half later and realized that I signed up for a year of F1 Live Premium or F1 TV Premium. Auto signed up. Didn't ever cancel it. So $129 for that one. So then I go, oh man, this sucks. Well, there's nothing I can do. It's I'm a month past. So, you know who really likes F1? Tyson. I bet Tyson doesn't have F1 TV. I'll ask him. So today or yesterday, I was like, hey man, if you need a login for F1 TV, you can use mine because I don't need it at this point. And he says, it's funny. I signed up for a free trial and forgot for a whole
year. That's how they get you, man.
So that's
how they get you. They know that you're going to forget in 7 days.
So if any of you want an F1 login, Tyson and I are rich in them.
So is Steve.
Did he do the same thing?
Yeah, kind of.
Jesus. What a bunch of idiots we are.
He did it with the intent of keeping it, but yeah, he's got it.
We got to game the system more, Jesse. We need to get you at the top of this organization. Just a rotating.
You don't want me at the top. No.
I mean, it's ideas like that that are going to keep us afloat.
Yeah, let's see how we can game Method Wheel. Actually, it's a custom wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Because it's not even Method Wheels.
Yeah. Well,
Robert has something. What the fuck are you doing over there?
I haven't really used the Onyx thing. You guys use the Onyx
We're not sponsors, Robert, so we don't need to like keep plugging it or anything. We just use it.
Hey, Onyx, sponsor us, even though I just exploited a loophole.
Well, you exploited it, but you're raising awareness Onyx so that they can fix
helping,
it.
Yeah, helping and the so development then, process.
You know, maybe in that we can get some subscriptions tossed our way. Because who knows how much money they've lost on that. I guess it's not really them that loses the money.
They made $100 off of me.
It's Method that loses the money, I guess, because it's the discount. But
well, yeah, and it's also that like scenario where at least you bought wheels.
Yeah, that's and that's why they're a partner with them, is to sell more wheels. So I don't think they're going to care.
No one's upset.
No. I bet there's enough people that forget that they signed up for the Elite. Bought wheels or whatever early and then forgot, and so then everybody wins. Mm-hmm. You got your discount, Onyx got a subscription, and the company gave you a discount and sold shit. So there you
Pretty
go.
Great.
It's a win-win-win.
Triple win.
Triple win.
So, Robert, what is your plan with the JKU?
Oh, I just ordered those tires, and I think that's what you got sitting behind you there, isn't it? That exact model. The plan is to just that is what I said is be good enough to take it up on the Rubicon, and also you know drive it there, because I want to be able to still drive it to work and drive it to where I'm going. I don't have the towing capabilities or anything like that, so drive it to where we're going and then wheel a little bit.
Definitely. What tire size did you go with?
35.
All right, perfect.
35. That's where I was bullied, man, forever. Like I was fine with the tires, and
he was fine with 31s.
I think they were 33s.
Barely 33s. They're fucking KO2s. They're 32s.
Yeah, I loved them. They were great.
They're good tires.
Yeah. They're just skinny. That was the main issue out in the snow that last trip, was this, because they were so skinny.
Tires.
Yeah.
Also, that snow was terrible.
On top of the snow being bad, yeah. But they're very skinny. Yeah. KO2 comment, though, Jesse, if you ever have a set of 37s and you park them next to a set of 35s, like I did at work the other day with Tyson, the ratio of how much smaller they are than what they claim to be, they get closer to the right size as they get smaller, because his 35s look extremely close to the size of my 37s comparatively.
Interesting.
So I bet if I park next to Colin, his 39s probably look fairly close to my 37s.
That's interesting.
When Colin first got those 39s, I rolled them out to mine, and I was surprised without a wheel on it how big it was compared to 37. But also no wheel, so that's probably
wheel. And those are like the 13 wide or whatever at that point too, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would like to get those tires. They're just very expensive.
Well, if we can bully Colin into getting like 42s or something, then he'll have 39s for sale. You just have to call just over here to get these.
What's that?
You could just get these.
I don't like those Coopers.
That what much. Are those, you don't? Jesse?
No.
These are the Cooper STT STs.
Pros.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're okay. I've been looking at the Mickey Thompson, like the hybrid one, the Baja Boss X or whatever.
Yeah.
That looks interesting. I don't know. The 39-inch KO2 is kind of the tire that I want, because I like the sizing. I like that it is undersized for that size tire. I think that would be nice for not cutting up everything on my rig to do it. But again, the money. They're also not super heavy, I don't think either, which is nice. So Robert could just cut his fenders off all the way and also run the same tire. Be fine. Are you doing more lift? Are you doing something different suspension wise?
I think I don't think so. I think it'll work with the 30 with the new tire. We'll see.
You can fit 35s with no lift on a JK.
He has a 1.5-inch spacer.
Yeah, that's plenty.
Should be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
No rubbing? He's...
Maybe nah. when depending on your wheel offset. Well, you got wheels too, so yeah, it shouldn't rub when you turn even. So yeah.
Nice.
Might need a few little things just when it's flexed out, maybe, but kind of doubt it. Like, it seems like a commonplace these days to have 35s on those with nothing else done.
Yeah,
what the fuck do you have there, Robert?
What are you doing?
Oh, it's a warning. It's a warning on there. It says, "Do not mount tire on wheel until wheel has been test fitted on vehicle."
Yeah.
How do I do that?
Because you can't return the wheel if a tire's been mounted on it.
It's true.
Yeah, that's a fine.
Well, like they'll still install them, right?
Well,
yeah. No, so all right, we're gonna get into the difference between Costco and discount.
Oh yeah,
tire.
Oh, if you want to go there.
So discount tire will definitely test each tire or each wheel on the lug pattern to make sure it's correct. Because I actually know a guy that went through this. He tested one wheel. It was like, okay, perfect. That's fine. And then had all of his tires mounted, went home, put them on. Then the 1/5 one or the 1/5 wouldn't fit on. And Custom Wheelhouse sent him the wrong wheel.
Is that guy's name Dave Chappelle?
No.
Because it happened to him too.
Jeez. Oh, really?
Yeah. It was on, what car was that? I can't remember what rig it was, but he had that exact thing happen to him where he was putting the wheels and tires on and he put one on, no problem, goes to the other one. And you just see him like struggling, like it just is not going on. And then he like pulls it away. And then he kind of comes to the camera and he's like, so they sent me one with the wrong lug pattern.
Oh, crazy.
So, man, you know how he is. He's building stuff like last second to go on some giant trip, you know. And
of course.
So he had one wrong lug pattern that he had to figure out how to make into a spare, basically. So, yeah, it was funny. Yeah, apparently it happens fairly often, so.
Yeah, so make sure that they test all of them. Test all of them.
I've never tested mine beforehand either, but you know, you could put a tape measure.
I read the box.
See.
Or if there isn't a box, I just mount the tires and move on. In my previous life, I don't do that anymore, obviously, so it doesn't matter. But I never burned me, thank God. That would have sucked as a small business, but.
Yeah.
Also, I would assume, like, if they sent you the wrong wheel, like there's a little wiggle room there. I've dealt with these companies and there's some wiggle room if you know the right people and you have a reasonable relationship with someone.
Yeah. If you have the reasonable relationship, this individual that I'm talking about did not have that. And they said, well, you were supposed to test it. And because he bought 5 wheels. From Custom Wheelhouse, and one of them was packaged correctly, but not the actual. It was 8 on 6.5, not 8 on 170. And they denied his claim, made him pay for it.
So they had it was packaged correctly. So they just sent the wrong one entirely. Not that the wheel was in the wrong box, it was in the correct box. But no one paid enough attention to see that there was one that had the wrong lug pattern.
Exactly. So the lug pattern was not correct to the box.
Oh, well, then at that point, that's their problem.
Then that's definitely fully on them at that point.
Yeah, well, they did not accept it and made him pay for it.
All right, Robert, check your wheels.
Yeah, check your wheels, buddy.
Pull every one of them out and measure those
lug spacing. Aren't all five... if there's five holes, that's good enough, right?
Yeah, no, got, yeah. If it's no, got five holes,
there's a lot of things with five holes. Hole.
Yeah,
that's it caused a ruckus there. No.
Title of your sex tape.
If it's got five holes.
Wow.
That looks good to me.
Of course, oh, it God. Does. That's five holes.
So, Robert, what would you say, like, since you're so fresh in the game here, what would you say is your favorite part of going and doing this stuff with us?
Go momming around. I'll find any excuse to be outside and go out camping and just hanging out with a bunch of dudes and drinking beer. But like also, there's just a lot of, it's like a whole new, just area of stuff to learn for me. Like I was learning about, like how lockers work or what they even are. And I started getting into watching some videos and I'm also trying to figure out, even in my situation, like the gear ratio. Cause now I'm upgrading or getting bigger tires now. Right. And I was like, well, now I need a new gear ratio. And shit. Now how do I do that?
Yeah. Your slow Jeep just got slower.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I do nothing about it, right? So, but yeah, it's just a whole new bunch of stuff to learn and learning, like watching Jesse welding a guy's differential out in the middle of the woods. That's pretty sweet. and just the teamwork too. Just the teamwork. Everyone's just trying to get out of this. You get stuck and then the creative ways of solving it, and everyone's helping each other out. It's a cool experience, and yeah, every time I've gone out in the last couple of years, it's been great, a really fun time, and you can seeing stuff, looking at the map, and trying to figure out where you are, and just you going to new places. It's great.
Yeah, all yeah, that is fun. Yeah, I think those are all good pieces. I agree. I was just exploring, you know, new areas this weekend, which is the first time I've done that in a long time, and. You know, that like experience of like, okay, I'm going to go to the end of this trail and then like, does it connect here? And what do I go for? And like, that's something that I kind of maybe took for granted for a long time, being able to just go, oh, I'll pop out to this road and get to this obstacle and like move on. But like every time being new is kind of fun. Like you're talking about, like it's a new experience and you're learning as you go along, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the vehicle's that way too, right? Like if it's all fresh, like that's pretty cool too. I like research, and I believe me, there's no shortage of it. Like none of us are done learning either. So always
over researching things.
I spent hours always. Looking at splined torsion bars, sway bars the other day. Hours. Just trying to figure
after
out
our how short conversation about it.
It was before that happened to happen after I had done my research. Timing.
Some yeah. people would call that a sign, Sean.
Yeah, well, maybe. it's really hard to put one together yourself, and Rock Jack ones are kind of expensive. Hmm. It's not hard to put together, but the diameter of the bar and the length of the arms creates the tension rate, or whatever you want to call it, the spring rate on it. So
yeah.
There's a whole bunch of math in figuring out what works. And how to mount it.
Yeah. Even. Well, so. You should be able to just pull that torsion bar out of the bug, right? Just turn that into your sway bar.
Maybe. Yeah. It might be. Yeah, it's probably not wide enough, but.
Why not?
Maybe.
There's torsion bars everywhere.
I kind of need it. It's not under a lot of tension, but I still need it. A couple critical pieces on. Well, cool. I really think if there's any potential for a would you pay money for that, yeah, this could be really fun. I have one too. Robert, are you familiar with this game? All right, I'll take that as a yes.
You were asked a question, Robert.
Oh, I didn't hear it over the music. I'm sorry.
That's okay. The music is, it really takes part of your soul. So are you familiar with this game? Have you heard it?
Oh, is it the Would You Pay Money for This?
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes.
All right, good. Big fan.
He's a regular
big
listener.
Fan, everybody.
Yeah, because Colin's always like, it's not Would You Pay That Much. It's Would You Pay Money for This. It's Would You Pay
This
Money.
Guy gets it. This guy gets it.
All right, where do you want me to start?
Hi.
Hi.
To take it the way you want, I don't know.
Okay, I'll start with this then. Look at how high she is.
Oh, yeah.
So 2002 International 4800 4x4 fire truck. It is nice, $1,000. And
so the unicorn.
It's a former Forest Service truck, Type 3 fire engine. So Mike should probably buy it because it's a fire engine. Rust-free, incredible condition. Has the bigger 300 horsepower turbo diesel DT530 with an Allison. Emergency lights have been cut out. Post more photos soon. As it turns out, I thought that things seemed familiar. This is the people that have the Unimog on 52s.
Yeah. The Weekender Defender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's fire.
This is what Mike should have gotten. This would have been the perfect.
This would have been his overcorrection.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be really nice. We got to figure out how to camp out of it still. But, I would definitely pay money. I have no need, desire, use, or anything for it. I guess desire I do have, but no need, no use, no reason. But I just love it. It's not an ambulance, so it doesn't creep me out too.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
What does she have in the back? In the back,
it doesn't show anything.
Yeah, see,
that's. You got two hands.
It's just the fire truck service bed. That's it.
Room for fire gear.
Mm-hmm.
Or
other gear.
I would 100% pay money for that. Oh my gosh, I got the hiccups. I'm sorry.
It's a new layer. I'm a no.
Why not?
I like the color. Unlike Jesse, I like the color.
Oh, I love the color.
But it's just not the right thing for my tastes.
Not the right fire truck for you.
Not the right fire truck. I need a different fire truck. I'm into fire trucks, but not this fire truck.
I like that color. God dang it, these hiccups.
Well, Jesse, it was a callback. That's what that was.
I know. It was to that. It was to that. Was it the Ford GT?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, nah, replica. I don't like that color.
Yeah, replica. Don't forget the replica.
Oh yeah, don't like the replica part.
Okay. Is everybody satisfied there?
I'm going to go no. I'm going to go no also.
We're 50-50 on this.
Yeah. I don't even know what's in the back end there.
He needs to know what's in the back.
Yeah. Before I decide to live in it.
Okay. Oh, well, I mean, live in, yeah. That's kind of where you'd have to go with this thing.
She did a good job cleaning it up, though. That's looking nice.
I think that's just a solid little commuter.
Solid little commuter.
An automatic 4-wheel drive, so all seasons. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, highest.
How much was it? Are we allowed to ask how much it was?
It was nice $1,000.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
$69,000.
I can't tell if that's a lot of money or a reasonable amount of money for an international fire truck.
Okay, you don't know what the fire truck market's like?
No clue.
Well, I mean, we could narrow it down for you in this sense where. For basically the same price, you could also potentially get into a 77 F-250 crew cab short bed with a 12-valve Cummins P-pump, freshly rebuilt injection pump, engine resealed, Dakota Digital, NV4500, Dodge axles with disc brakes in the front, brand new coilovers in the front with piggyback reservoirs, freshly painted, new upholstery, new one-piece headliner, Bluetooth radio, which I know that if it doesn't have Apple Pay, Sean won't want it. Door speakers and subwoofer behind the receipt. Onboard air compressor with air horns. Definitely important.
Okay.
Heater core replaced.
Weird, but okay.
So it has a heater. custom flatbed and custom side steps.
Okay.
The side steps look really cheesy.
Yep.
So I do like a dent side.
Yeah, but I like one with a bed.
That has a bed. It's a flatbed, Sean.
Yeah.
It's got rough country reservoir coilovers. So real high dollar.
That's going to be a no for me just on this angle.
Does it say Shack?
Schmick.
Schmick.
Yeah, I think it's SHMCK, Montana plate.
Schmick. Schmick.
Oh, wait. Is that King Ranch?
I wonder if that's a TMI seat that like has the like updated upholstery Ooh. Stuff. Maybe it's a newer style one.
Those are conflicting interior styles.
Yeah, the brown and the black are weird together, I think. But
I like it. I like
the brown. No. Those are two different. The front seats are different than the rear, I guess. Okay.
It's a different style, but they're the same kind of upholstery, I think. I think it's just lighting that's making it look off.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they pulled off some sort of King Ranch swap.
This coilover is very odd to me as well.
Yeah. I know we're not taking price into consideration here, but I'm not about to pay $70,000 for a truck that doesn't have a clutch pedal pad. That's ridiculous. Fix that. It's $5, man.
That's a deal breaker.
And also take a picture where you can't see all the wires hanging down.
Yeah, you got all your wires down here, you know.
Sean's got a good point. I'm out.
I think this picture is what makes me out.
Yeah.
I can't afford the 16-inch coilovers, so give me the 8s with the 8-inch fucking pogo stick on the bottom of it.
Yeah, 3 inches of travel.
Like, what? That's such a weird...
I'm still in. I would pay money for that. Because, I mean, come on. It's a dent side with a 24 or 12 valve Cummins. Come on. I can fix the wrong.
Sure, I guess that's right. But like, yes, you're right. I hate all the black painted crap on it. There's too much for me to get over. It's
you
that
can
thing.
Fix the wrong, but like, you're going to spend, like, I know that as the concept is, not would you pay this money, but considering if you're spending a bunch of money on something that you then have that is this far, this. Gone into this deep that you then get to fix. That's
a tough sell.
Yeah, that's a tough sell. If this was like semi unrestored and like was still on leaf springs or something like that, then it's like, okay, yeah, I can upgrade this.
Yep.
That's how I look at it, I guess.
Only 5,500 miles, huh?
Yeah, it's
debatable.
It's believable, you know?
Should
be anyway. All right, so we've got another Ford here. This one's actually local. This is in Bend.
Damn.
17,000. It's a 94. Time silly old Ford. Consider a trade with cash on your end. Diesels, ? Small diesel swapped rigs, ? Camp trailers or older Broncos? I really like bullnose 80 to 86 Fords. Fair enough. I agree. I don't know if I like him as much as I like the arrow nose, but here we are. It's got a 351. Desired. It's the Windsor. It's the Desired engine, it says. It's got a 44 straight axle in the front. James Duff radius arms. Heim joint, heavy duty crossover steering, redhead steering box, Fox shocks, long two headers, true dual exhaust with a muffler.
Sounds really good.
Side. Sounds really good, yeah. Ford 9-inch rear end, custom drive shafts, regeared for 37s, new 37s. Tow package, doing a lot of towing apparently.
I shouldn't have read ahead. System.
Has a sub box behind the rear seat. Okay. Bluetooth stereo again, Sean. There you go. Mm-hmm. Custom front bumper, aftermarket headlight and taillight, 2 6-inch LED lights in the bumper and are functional.
Wow.
Those lights in the bumper are not for show, guys. Those are functional. Oh,
couldn't tell.
All right.
Good deal. It's a rad
trick. There's some funny comments on there.
Open the wing windows, throw on some Limp Bizkit, and go for a sunset cruise. Super fun to drive as a weekend cruiser or grocery getter. Does drive like a lifted straight axle swapped Ford on 37-inch mud terrains. 240,000 miles. Really only on body and frame. Has a 5.8 and tranny from another truck. Not sure on mileage for it, so it could have more to it.
Yeah, that's a really funny one.
And everything under the cab isn't factory. Clean title, ready for its next owner.
Let's see. I want to see the interior of this thing.
Pictures are a screenshot from a phone.
That's a Facebook Marketplace classic. Like, wait, how did you get here?
Yeah. Like,
oh, it's another
screenshot.
I didn't notice that in the first shot.
Yeah, the lighting's not great. For the pictures. How are all of the pictures screenshots from the phone?
Ugh.
Someone took the picture at some point.
Yeah. Mm. It's in your phone. You can just put it on.
Well, man, this pains me to say because I really think this truck is cool. But the color combo, again, with the black painted trim stuff. Mm-hmm. Even though I love green, but like that green with that black, not so much to me. And the not having a TTB, that really turns me off both of those things. So I think I'm going to go now.
Wow.
I like it, but I just don't think I'd own it. I think if it was TTB and a little squattier, I'd probably be all over it and I could get over the color thing.
Yeah. If it's with these, to me, I think I'm kind of with you. It's like a,
or if it had a 60.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you're going to solid axle it, then it should have 1 tons. Otherwise, just run long travel TTB. Like,
yeah.
You wouldn't get complaints from me on that. So all that being said, no interior pictures, unknown mileage, even though he acts like it's not.
I don't know, believe me, it's fine.
Yeah. I think it pains me to say it, but I think I'm also a no.
Yeah, it's a no for me, dog. I mean, with the overhype of the entire truck, they put a lot of information into the vehicle, but don't give me anything but like a screenshot. Nah, no, you're hiding some.
Yeah, the screenshots are a little sketchy.
You're hiding some.
Okay. All right.
I'm in. I'll get it.
Oh. Robertson, he doesn't care.
Yeah. I stopped reading at Limp Bizkit.
I mean, you got pretty far then because I came pretty late.
All true.
All right. So here's the last one I have.
Ooh. Yep.
87 Samurai. It's got the soft top.
That thing's cool.
Not a hard top. So if you read this first line here, it says rotary Samurai, front axle chromos, gears, lockers, high steer, rear spool, disc brakes, 4-to-1 T case, trail tough cage, gas tank skid, T case cradle, sliders, bonds, eye springs, and shackles. I'm sure I'm forgetting stuff. Fresh 35s, has a 13B out of an 87 RX-7 and RX-7 trans. Just swapped fresh motor in lost apex seals on old motor. Okay, I see. Then it needs a comma. Extra 13B can come. Oh, dude, that's gold right there. Extra 13B comes with it. Haven't gotten around to finishing mounting everything up yet. Radiator, power steering pump, and reservoir, etc. Interior is complete minus seats. So no seats. No seat. Interested in trades for a Superjet. 2022 or newer YZ85. Talaria or Suron plus cash. Mini excavator. There you go, Jesse. Or something sweet. Cash works too. Last pick is how she looked back in her prime. 2010-ish. Okay, so this guy's had like this now. Thing for quite a while then. Like, at least 15 years this guy's had this thing. So, boy, those wheels and tires are wide on that guy.
100%. Yeah. A false end. I don't care.
So it's a non-carbed 13B, so it's fuel injected.
Interesting.
But it's an unfinished swap from the looks of things. Or wait.
It's pretty good in that picture.
So this is the old engine. It. So it doesn't even need finishing. It just needs to put back together. He had the swap in because this is the old picture from when it was in its prime.
Was it a different color when it was in its prime?
It definitely looks to be white there.
Oh, I guess it's right there white. Too. Okay.
It's just
okay.
That he's got fancy anodized intake on this one.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cool. I kind of was expecting it to be a carbureted 13B, but.
Injection. Man, I'm in. 100%.
I also am in.
I like it. Yeah, I'll do it. The prime thing is weird, but I'll do it. How hard is it to take a picture of a car now? Like, why are we waiting 15 years?
I think these are pictures. Yeah,
these are current pictures. He sent another picture of the engine.
Fair enough.
When it was together, basically. This is the engine that lost the apex. This is the extra engine you get when you buy it.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This is my favorite one so far.
Yeah, I think it's sweet.
Yes.
I'm right. Curious what the torque curve on a rotary is in an off-road scenario, how that works out, but I'd still take it.
Well, it's got 4-to-1, so...
Yeah, you know, that'd be nice.
You're just wrapping it. It's got a lot... So just think of how long every gear is going to be, because you can wrap it out to 13,000 RPM every single gear.
Yeah, 10 miles an hour.
Yeah.
1,000 RPM per mile an hour.
Yeah, I think I would want... I think I would buy it solely just to see what it's like to off-road at, you know, 10,000 RPM plus all the time.
Just to check it out. Well, hey, the beauty of it is, you know, a rotary goes, what, 60,000 miles. It's hard to put 60,000 miles on a Samurai. So, like, the likelihood of you blowing apex seals again is pretty unlikely if it's fresh.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
When, like I said, back in its prime in 2010, so that was... That's 15 years, right?
Yes,
so
it is.
His apex seals lasted at least 15 years.
Yeah, you're good to go.
Like, that's dead reliable.
You could pull that motor out by yourself with no tools. I mean, tools to unhook it, but nothing to pull it out with.
Yeah.
Weigh nothing.
Yeah, it's lighter than your Volkswagen engine.
Yeah. Pretty sweet.
All right, you said you had one, Sean?
Oh, I do have one, yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yep. I saw this today, and I thought it was cool. It was something I thought was worth showing you guys.
God damn it.
Yeah.
No.
This is a 2014 Porsche Cayenne. It is a base model. Just no off the bat. It's a VR6 powered one.
Oh, God, even worse. I'm out.
Nice. It's a Platinum Edition. It's got the Nomads 33s. I'm super in on this. I like it.
No.
It's not even a V8.
I know.
Hella.
So you get more Volkswagen reliability. Look at that. It looks tough.
No. It looks like...
Yeah, I like it. Man.
What...
He's so mad.
It looks like a Volkswagen bug.
Sold but not after for $23,000.
Yeah. But not good.
It's a little higher than I thought it was going to go. It was at like $12,000 this morning when I looked, and I was like, oh, interesting. This goes for like $15,000. Like, that's a deal, but $23,000 is not so much. It's got like 50,000 miles on it, though, so $55,000. So, I don't think it's like, I don't think it's a great deal or a bad deal, but it's whatever, it's fine. These ones are weird because the later ones like this don't have low range, so it's really just like a, I mean, it's a regular commuter SUV that looks to me a little cooler.
It's a tall Subaru is all it is at this point.
Yeah,
with an engine that doesn't blow head gaskets.
See,
it's
so better.
Yeah,
what a tall Subaru. Come on,
I don't know. I like it. I like this generation of them too. Like visually, I think they look cool.
I mean, yes, Jesse, I'll give it a little extra credit, but the point I'm making is this is essentially the same as if you lifted your Forester and
put slightly bigger
tires on it, you know.
Except for would you rather drive a stock Forester or a stock one of these?
Right, sure.
I'll slightly give you that. Different there.
Come on, Sean.
But even still, I'm curious what the weight difference is between like this and like say your Mark IV with the when it had the 24 valve in it, because this is the 24 valve, right?
This is a 3.6. These are like the direct injected later ones, and they have like an 8-speed trans. So I think they actually are pretty fine. They're maybe 280 horsepower or something like that. So it's not like it's not fast. But I think it's probably enough to drive the thing at like a reasonable rate, even with a tire like this. Like it's fine. Would a turbo be like more enjoyable because it's like a ridiculously fast thing? Absolutely. But I think like this has got to weigh significantly less. Probably gets reasonable mileage. Like there's probably some benefit to a V6 powered one.
Yeah, I just don't. They've never done it for me, and so I think for me with these, it would have to be like the V8. It'd have to be the big engine. It would have to be the ones that have the lockers. Like all, it would have to be literally everything, and I still
the perfect
would,
one.
Yeah, and I still would have a hard time saying yes. I think, just because I could get two L322s for that price, and
I think this better. I think this is the best looking one that I've brought up on the show, at least. Best spec? No. Best looking? Yes. Less cut up shit and random exhaust hanging out.
Yeah, that is true. It's not cut up and have a ton of weird stuff going on, I guess. But
all right. That's what I had. Okay. Oh, Robert.
I didn't like it that much.
Yeah, it's fine.
I like Jess's reaction when he saw it.
Oh, that was... I was here mainly for
I kind of want to get it just to piss him off, but...
Where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. That's what we want to do here, right? Just make each other mad for no apparent reason.
That's why we're all friends.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Some of us don't take it as well as others, but, you know. Yeah. I'm not going to name any names.